Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Okay, what do all these funny people have in common? Cecily Strong, Jason Mantzoukas, Duncan Trussell, Paul Scheer, Scott Aukerman, Beth Stelling, Tom Papa, Lauren Lapkus, Louis Anderson, Lisa Gilroy, Paul F. Tompkins, and Sir Patrick Stewart. They've all played characters on the hit comedy podcast Mega, an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch. The next time you're in the mood for some laughs, great guests, out-of-this-world improv and cultural commentary, we're here for you, baby. Listen to Mega anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Hey, you nobodies. It's just me, Paula Poundstone. You nobodies are somebodies to us. Hey, I'm adding this little part to the beginning of this show so that you wouldn't be listening along wondering why we aren't addressing the protests for racial justice. Our show is recorded 2 weeks ahead of time, so these protests had not yet begun when we recorded this episode. We at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone are honored to be a part of your lives and hope that on your downest days, we can still make you laugh. To quote the Persian poet Rumi, be a lamp or a lifeboat or a ladder. And to add on to that, or a whoopee cushion, Black Lives Matter here.
Coming to you live from our houses in Los Angeles, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, it's Tiffany Haddish. She's here to coach up Paula's audition skills on another episode of Outside the Actor's Studio. Can she take Paula on a girl's trip to stardom? We'll find out. Plus, on this week's Quarantine Corner, it's time for third grade science. If you're homeschooling your kids, we'll tell you how to teach the basic concepts of magnetism. Just move Wooly's hair from the head to the chin. There, you've learned how magnetism works. At least that's what happened with my hair anyway. I'm Adam Felber, the man who tries to keep this show's conversational magnetic poles aligned with North and South. And now, please welcome the woman whose magnetic personality sprays chaos North, South, East, and West, Paula Poundstone!
Hey!
Hey, Paula Poundstone, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
And also a big thanks to tonight's house band guitarist Jan Van Gold from the small village of Caslow in the interior of British Columbia, Canada.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't even know there was a small village of Caslow in the interior of British Columbia, Canada. But Jan Van Gold, that sounds great. Thank you so, so much.
Yes.
Adam.
Yeah, Paula.
Given that people won't be gathering in crowds for a while, I've signed up with this, it's an app thingy called Cameo. It's an app where people pay me to make video greetings, and I do it with the camera on my stupid smartphone. So last night, I put on a black shirt, a tie, and my pink suit jacket, and I sat on my Lucy and Ricky bench to make some Cameo videos, because that's where I usually do it. And I've been wearing a black bowler hat for many of them, but I feel like it sort of makes me look fatter, if that's possible. So I sat for a while looking at my image, trying to decide hat, no hat. And then I realized I had forgotten my lipstick. And given that these Cameo videos are the closest thing I have to being on stage right now, I get up to get my lipstick. And I was trying to make a video, by the way, congratulating Jen on her 16th wedding anniversary. I wanted to give her the deluxe. So I sit back down, and I realized that my cat Theo had gotten fur all over my black shirt. So now I go get the lint lifter, which is a lot of what I've been doing.
Now, this is all going somewhere.
Yeah, it's going somewhere. So I've spent a lot of time during the stay-at-home order lint lifting. So I go, I get the lint lifter. Now I sit down again, and the app won't work. So I get up, and I go to my office/bedroom, And I was trying desperately not to call Tony Anita Hall for help because I'd call her for everything. And I just felt she needed a night off just to sit at her little desk with her peplos on and not be bothered. So I tried Googling the problem, which is, of course, no help. I tried calling the phone number from my point person at Cameo, and it was late, so she wasn't going to answer. So, of course, I called Tony. She said to turn off the app and then turn it on again, but I don't know how. So we had to have one of those conversations, you know, those conversations that go like this. Click on the three dots. There are no dots. I don't see any dots. Try swiping up. I did. Nothing changes. It goes up a little and then it comes back down. Do you see the box? There is no box. Are you on your home page? I'm in my home, but I'll probably have to move soon. Did you try turning the phone off? I'm about to try hydroxychloroquine. Shit, Siri keeps coming on. Fuck, I hate Siri. And then I swear to you, Siri, which I have never used in my life, said, "That's not nice." Like I did, I never even... So I thanked Tony for trying to help me, and I actually got Siri to tell me how to fix the problem. So I go back out
to... You did not.
I did. So I go back out to the Lucy and Ricky bench, but I look so fat in the camera that I thought... Because there's something about the way I hold the phone up that makes... It just makes me look fat. So I go and I get the tripod. And Wendell had made a device to hold the smartphone on the tripod, but I couldn't find it. Finally, I found it. I take the tripod out to my Lucy and Ricky bench, and I don't look as bad as I sometimes do. So I say into the camera, "Hi, Jen. It's just me, Paula Poundstone, wishing you a happy 16th wedding, Anna." And the phone battery dies. So now I go back into my office bedroom. I plug it in while I change clothes, sift litter boxes, and change back into my black shirt, tie, and pink suit jacket. I get the phone. I put it in the device Wendell has made to hold it on the tripod. I'm about to congratulate Jen on her 16th anniversary, and I notice the camera is crooked. So to unclip the tripod legs that telescope to different... You know the tripod legs, like
telescope. The legs of the tripod were uneven.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say. And so I unclicked the thing that holds them, and I pinched my hand in the leg of the tripod.
That'll hurt.
It was excruciatingly painful. Yeah. So right now, at this moment in our lives, I would just like to say, Jen, congratulations on your 16th wedding anniversary.
I gotta say, whatever you're getting paid for Cameo, it's clearly not nearly enough given the physical hazards you undergo.
It's kind of like the making of Sound of Music. People don't realize what went into it. Did you know that Julie Andrews, there was a helicopter holding the camera while she was running in the hills in the beginning, singing Sound of Music?
That's not surprising because it looks like she's getting blown all over the place.
That's exactly right. She kept getting blown down. So this was a lot like that.
This was almost nothing like that. Thank you for that, Paula, which answers the question that I was going to ask, which is, what's new in your life?
That's what's new. You know, this pandemic is causing, you know, all sorts of problems, but that's an understatement, I think. But the one thing that it will not change, Adam, is this.
What?
I have a word this week.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute, Paula.
am I ahead of myself? First,
you're ahead of everybody else. What we're going to do is we're going to go around the horn like we do every week
say
hello to the people who make this show happen.
All right, let's do
that.
And
I'm going to ask each of you to tell a story that is significantly shorter than Paula's. So let's go around. We'll start with you, Tony Anita Hall, our producer, peplos wearing friend of Paula and everybody. What's new in your life?
Over there in Studio City. I hit a car in my garage last night.
No.
Oh.
I did. I hit the car that parks next to me. I just bumped it. I bumped it a little bit. I had to leave her a note. She was very nice about it. But I pulled into that spot, I calculated, over 1,500 times and have never hit her car. And last night.
Yeah.
I did.
Wow. Can I give you a little pro tip, Tony? You're a likable and trustworthy looking person. If you were to have lit that car on fire and spray painted some swastikas on, no one would have ever suspected you. Just a pro tip from me to you.
Yeah, that's true.
That you got an honest face.
That'll be a good cover right there. So you left her a note. Was it like, did her alarm go off when you hit the car?
No, I just took off a little bit of paint, but I didn't. I mean, she would have known it was me. I'm parked next to her, so I felt. And I sent our property manager an email about it as well.
Did you also go upstairs to your apartment and chip some paint off your wall and try to use it to cover the paint that you chipped off the car? Because that's so Cat in the Hat.
I did try rubbing your car. I did touch her car, and then I felt bad about that because I thought maybe it was just dirt, and I didn't hit it, but it was, I hit it.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you did a more responsible thing than either I or Paulo would do. Let's go continue to go around the horn. We're going to go all the way up to somewhere in the Simi Valley, I think, right? To the home of producer, manager of Paulo, Captain Crinkle, Bonnie Burns.
Oh, wait, I have to crinkle.
No, you don't!
There you go.
You don't have to.
You honestly could have not.
You guys believe I don't... My life's been so boring since this shut-in. Would you believe I don't have anything to say? I'm like, there's nothing.
Well, look out the window of your car right now. What are things like at the truck stop?
I could say this. There's something Paula's been right about that we've been arguing with her about.
Okay, what's that?
You know how she said that she didn't think headphones were good for you?
Not headphones.
And we've all been...
Earbuds.
Headset. Earbuds.
Earbuds, yes.
Okay. Well, we have a terrific sponsor, Raycon, and yes. I was given a set, which my daughter took immediately, and she says they're fantastic, and they're better than another brand, which we can't mention, but they cost way more money than Raycon. And anyway, my daughter loves those, so I have a very cheap set, and I have a very old computer and a really brand new computer, but I've never gotten around to setting up the new computer, so I work off the old computer. It's so old. I'm getting to the point.
Go ahead.
Getting there. It's so old that the speaker's gone out. It's really scratchy, but it'll work. I can hear fine if I plug the earbuds in and then listen to them. I must have those earbuds in like 12 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
Every day.
Yes.
What I didn't know is if you have them in for a really long time, you get like a big sore ear. So now I have a really, really sore ear. And I told my daughter, like, I think I have an ear infection. My ear's all swollen. She goes, you know, you're only supposed to wear earbuds like 2 or 3 hours a day.
At most, yeah.
Well, who knows that?
I'd never heard
that.
Well,
you do now. You know, I got to...
Well, that's a younger generation thing, I guess.
I got to tell you, Bonnie, I don't often agree with you. But in this case, I'm going to come right out and agree with you 100% that you basically had nothing to say this week.
Okay, well, then I'll just move over and give my time. We can move this along to get to Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's move on. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Back up!
Thank you, Bonnie. Yes?
It's not time for Tiffany Haddish. It's time for the word.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Oh, my
Paula,
gosh.
What do you got for us?
I'm nonplussed.
It's like you are. You're
Gallimaufry.
All right, now you're randomly yelling
you're
words, Bonnie.
Okay.
And now you're crinkling.
Okay.
Just back away from the microphone. Paula, what do you got this week?
Let's see. Here we go. The word this week is augury. It's a noun that means a sign of what will happen in the future, an omen.
Yeah, it's like an old mystical word, isn't it?
I don't know. Here, I'll use it in a sentence. The dark clouds that gathered overhead were an augury of the storm to come. Ooh.
Nice.
Ooh, and you know, Adam.
Nice. Yes.
Vaccine or no vaccine, I've got a vocabulary song that is bolstering the word choices around the country. And
Yes, I would have to say that you introducing a new word at this point is an augury of some somewhat clumsy glockenspiel playing to come.
Oh no, I think you're reading that augury wrong. Cause listen to this, Adam. This week's word is augury. It's a noun that means a sign of what will happen in the future, an omen. After the Seder, the kids are going to find the Afikomen. Last week's word was cavil. It's a verb that means trivial complaints or objections. I don't want a condom on my boyfriend's erections. The week before that, we had an yore. It's a verb that means become used to something, especially something unpleasant, like not being in school to say present. Going back before that, we had pelf. It's a noun that means money, especially when gained dishonestly. There's probably a slice for Hannity. And not long ago, we had insuperable. It's an adjective that means impossible to overcome. That can make a person mighty glum. Let's never forget Gallimaufry. Oh, wait, I always say that right.
Gallimaufry.
No, Gallimaufry.
Yeah.
Let's never forget Gallimaufry, which I pronounce. Let's never forget Gallimaufry, which I pronounced wrong until nobody, James Hyder, corrected me. It's a noun that means confused jumble or medley of things. Hodgepodge. Who's podge? Hodgepodge. Adam doesn't think my song is replicable. 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 But I do. I do. I do. I do.
Woo! No, it wasn't that just. That was just dandy, Paula.
Number one with a bullet.
Wonderful, wonderful song.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but another possible word for synonym for augury is harbinger. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yes, harbinger. Certainly. I knew that one.
Yeah. Which is like an augury or a person who kind of announces something is coming or precedes something.
I wish that Obama was still president, for every reason.
Sure.
But one of the reasons I wish Obama was still president is he used to have some really cool musicians come to, I think it's the East Room where they would perform. And I'm pretty sure that if Obama had ever heard me play the glockenspiel, or if he was, if he knew about the glockenspiel conservatory, which I have been asked to join.
You haven't.
I have. That he would ask me, if he were still president, that he would have asked me to come play, to perform at the White House. And so it's just one among a gallimaufry of reasons that I wish that he
that
was
you wish
still,
that he was still president.
Yes, exactly.
Now,
hello, it is moi, French Trump, announcing to you nobodies that I will outsmart the press, the enemy of the people, at another French Trump presidential conference mini podcast that drops each week on Friday at 5 p.m., 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and 2 p.m., 2 p.m. Pacific Time. There is a 3-hour time difference, which I calculated with no computer, no scratch paper, because I'm a very stable genius.
All right. Now, thank you for that, Mr. President. Now, please imagine Hail to the Chief playing as you walk out. Anyway, coming up, Rosalind Russell said, acting is standing up naked and turning around very slowly. Well, she won't be naked and she may not turn around slowly, but Paula Poundstone, gol darn it, she's going to act. And with actress Tiffany Haddish. That's coming up when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Adam, I have a house full of cats and a couple of big dogs. So I have this one cat who every night likes to stand in the hallway and yowl. And he has kind of a little bit like me because of allergies. I don't know why he has it, but his name is Theo and he has a really gravelly voice. So he'll, it's hard to describe it. I can't do a good impression, but it's a little dusty, gravelly voice. Okay, so earlier I was laying on the living room floor because I'm exhausted and I'm wearing a nylon fiber filled vest. As I'm laying on the floor, Theo shoves his head through one sleeve of the vest and crawls up and is now stuck inside in between my back and the vest and is yowling because he can't get out. And then finally his head comes out the other sleeve and he goes out. What's not to love? That's what I say. What is not to love?
Which brings me to this. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program.
Your pet is part of your family, you know that already, and you want the best for them no matter what. But vet bills can really add up. Go ahead, ask me. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. That's a lot of pets.
True.
They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Paula. That's ASPCA. We spell that ASPCA. Petinsurance.com/Paula. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code. On this day in unremarkable history, Malcolm X said, "Spell my last name."
Thank you, house band Jan Van Gold from the small village of Caslow in the interior of British Columbia, Canada. Thanks for being our house band.
Thanks, Jan. Sounds great.
Now, Paula, I know that film production is shut down right now, but there are signs that the industry is going to be gearing up soon, and that means, you know what it is? You'll be auditioning again.
Oh, boy.
Right.
Oh.
And as we've established on the show several times now, you aren't excellent at auditioning, are you?
No, I get nervous, and then I sort of avoid the audition is what I do. I like the actual part where you're reading the script. I think my hope is that somehow my natural charisma will charm them and then
never
make me actually read the part.
They'll forget that you were even supposed to read. And that has resulted in you getting how many parts out of auditions? Just estimate.
Zero.
Zero. So like every part you've ever had was just offered to you because you're Paula Poundstone, right?
Well, I haven't had a lot of parts, Adam, honestly.
Well, I watched Inside Out the other night and you're terrific in that Pixar feature.
Well, thank you very much. That's because I did the interview over the phone, and it turns out that my phone was off.
Oh, well, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Now, Paula, as we do on our best episodes, we have someone here who's going to help you with your auditioning.
Oh, thank goodness.
She's a comedian, an actress. She starred in Girls Trip, won an Emmy Award for her work on Saturday Night Live, and wrote a best-selling memoir, The Last Black Unicorn, all in 2017. She starred in the film Self-Made and currently co-stars with Tracy Morgan in The Last OG. Please welcome Tiffany Haddish!
Hey, y'all.
Tiffany, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
How's your isolation going?
It's going really good. I mean, I've been talking to my plants and they're producing a lot of strawberries and extra delicious fruits and leaves and things.
Wow.
That's nice.
Are they strawberry plants?
Yeah, I got strawberry plants. I got bell peppers. I got kale and chard and artichokes and celery and cilantro.
I have never in my life known anyone who would grow kale.
Well, now you do.
Yeah. Wow. To me, kale is just taking over everything. You know, you get an ice cream and they say, do you want, you know, kale on it? It's just kale has gone too far.
Well, you know, kale is full of vitamins and nutrients that our bodies need.
Oh, for
yeah, I had an uncle that used to call it horse food, though. He said, like, kale, that's horse food.
He's not completely wrong.
I'm uncle's side on that one, yeah.
But, Tiffany, when you're not growing food, you do act quite a bit.
Yes, when there's acting to be done.
When there's acting to be done. So what I want to get to is, I'm guessing you don't use Paula's audition strategy, which is just try to distract them so they never make you read the sides.
No. I don't do that.
All right. Hey, Tiffany, have you ever had an audition that went badly?
Oh, yes. I've had auditions where I thought I might get arrested at the end of it.
Tell us about that one.
This casting director was kind of like, you know, going in on me about how my headshot didn't look like me, that it was like, and that it was horrible because it was a full body shot, and that I didn't look like that girl because I came in there in jeans and not in that. I guess you're supposed to wear the same thing. I don't know.
I never heard that. Okay.
I don't think so. So she kind of was going off on me, and then she was like, yeah, you need to get it together. And another thing, you better be ready to do this scene. And like, I was like, who the fuck is this lady? Like, and what a fucking insult. So then I came to perform for you. So I just like to be of service and do what I came to do. So then she goes, okay, go ahead. And at that point I was so angry. I was kind of shaking a little bit. And then at the end of the scene, she was like, oh, and your acting is atrocious. And I said, your attitude is atrocious, okay? I don't like you either. I don't like you either.
Oh, my God.
And that's how you got cast in Girls' Night.
No. Cut to Girls' Trip comes out.
A Girls' Trip, yeah.
And yeah, a cut to Girls' Trip comes out. And like maybe 3 months later, I'm at a party and she comes up to me. She goes, Tiffany, I always knew you were phenomenal. I always knew you were great. I was like, bitch, I remember you.
I mean no one's ever been mean to me. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes these casting directors be jealous,
right? You know, a lot of casting directors do start out as actors.
Yeah.
You know, this may surprise you, Tiffany, but none of them have been jealous of me. Wow. All right.
Have you
ever read for a role that you knew when you went in for the audition that you already knew, like, well, I'm not right for this. This is not me.
Oh, yes.
Like, what?
Yes, so many times. Oh, they had me going for a role where it called for a girl with blue eyes, blonde hair, and voluptuous. So I put on a blonde wig, some blue contacts, and I stuffed my bra.
And how'd that go?
Yeah, didn't get that job. They ended up going in a different direction.
Really? That's awesome.
We're going in another direction.
Yeah.
All right, so when it's not a disaster, when your audition is not a disaster, when you actually have an audition for a part you're appropriate for, this is the part where we help out Paula. What do you do to get yourself ready for an audition? And do you have any tips or tricks that you use to psych yourself up when you get in that room?
Well, usually the first thing I do is when I wake up that morning, I get in the mirror and I look at myself only in my eyeballs and I say, Tiffany Haddish, I love and approve of you. Tiffany Haddish, I love and approve of you. Tiffany Haddish, I love and approve of you. And I do that over and over for about 5 minutes, right? And then I brush my teeth and everything and like do my makeup or whatever and start to get dressed for the audition. And as I'm getting dressed, I start to, you know, run the lines in my head and think of myself as that character. Like I'm living that character's life. I'm about to go in here and live a slice of someone's life. And maybe that someone is make-believe, but I'm living their life.
Wow. I love
Wow. Now, Paula, just to make sure that you got this down, Paula, I want you to look in a mirror right now, if you can get near one, and say, look yourself right in the eye and say, Tiffany Haddish, I love and approve of you.
No, she has to say Paula Poundstone. Oh.
Okay. All right.
She has to say her name.
All right.
Her
full name. I'm moving to the front of, okay. I'm in my bathroom in front of the mirror.
Okay.
And only look in your eyeballs, Paula. Okay.
I'm looking at my eyeballs. And I go, are you high?
No, no.
No, because
no,
my
Paula.
Eyes are all red. My eyes are really red.
Yeah, that's not how you're, that's not the advice you're getting from Tiffany. Yeah.
No, that's not, it doesn't matter that your eyes are really red. Look in those red eyes.
Yeah, looking in the red eyes.
Look in those red eyes and say, Paula yeah. Poundstone, I love and approve of you.
Paula Poundstone, I'm willing to put up with you at least for a minute.
See, that's counterproductive. You can't even say it, can you?
All right, here we go. Tiffany, I'm going to do this your way. Okay, ready?
Yes.
All right, Paula Poundstone, I love and approve of you. Okay. Oh,
again.
Oh no. What? You know what the mirror said back?
What?
Said, you are a fucking liar. There's a place for Trump administration for you.
The whole point, Paula, is to trick your body into giving off the energy of love and approval so that when you walk into that audition, they're going to just love and approve of you, because whatever you feel about yourself when you walk through that door is what they're going to feel about you too.
And that's a crucial moment for Paula, because what she's told me many times in the past is it's when she walks into that room that it all starts to fall apart. Do you have any other is that what you do?
Yeah,
you
just see, here goes the thing. You got to remember this, Paula. They're there for a reason, right?
Yeah.
They need you. They called you in. They need somebody like you or absolutely you. And you're just there to be of service. You already have the talent. You already know what to do. They need you. So you're just there to be of service. That you're doing them a favor by even showing up. Because trust, they want to cast that role. You know?
Tiffany, how many times a day can I call you?
Oh, as many times as you want, Paula. We're not doing nothing right now. So
Well, you've got that farm to tend to, Tiffany.
Yeah, well, you know, I could talk. That's why my AirPods, that's why they're dead now, because I was in the garden talking to my friends.
Well, we have to send you some Raycons because they're a sponsor of ours.
Oh yeah, send me those.
You got it.
Yeah. Maybe they have a better battery on them.
That battery is pretty good, I got to tell you. All right. Dame Maggie Smith said there is a kind of invisible thread between the actor and the audience. And when it's there, it's stunning. And there is nothing to match that. She may have even said that while waiting in her limo outside of our podcast studio. We'll see if Paula can create that thread when we come back. The cat of the week is Puddles from Santa Rosa, California. Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium elite collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix sleep quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
And we are back with Tiffany Haddish. Tiffany, are you ready to go? Are you ready to help Paula?
Yes, I'm here for Paula.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I'm here for you, girl. I love and approve of you, Paula.
Thank you, Tiffany.
All right. So given all that, that Paula is now loved and approved of for the first time that I can remember, let's go, everybody, outside the actor's studio. All right. Now, Tiffany, Paula has these sides that she's for a role that she is up for. It's a continuation of a scene that she seems to be expanding on every time we do outside the actor studio. So we'd like you to read this scene with her and then offer up your expert coaching tips. Does that sound agreeable?
That sounds agreeable. Cool.
All right. So Tiffany will be playing the part of Regina and Paula will be playing the part of Marta. I will be reading the stage directions. Let's bring up the curtain.
All right.
Marta is a strong woman. She suffers no fools. She doesn't feel she needs a man, but when love comes knocking, she can't help peeking through the blinds. She's smart, a little bit quirky, and really into pugs. She has worked on campaigns for 30 years. She's meeting with Regina Boswell about a possible position in the office of the First Lady of her home state.
Thank you for your time, Marta. The governor says that you are a vital member of the campaign staff and has asked me to meet with you about a job in my office. What makes you interested in this job?
Well, I've seen the excellent messaging, and at the risk of sounding cynical, let me try that again. Sorry. Okay, wait. Sorry.
Thank you, Miss Poundstone.
Sorry. I love an approval.
Thank you, Miss Haddish. Please stay behind. Miss Poundstone, thank you.
Okay, look, before we even start, Paula, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath.
All right. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you warm up your instrument? Shake it out a little bit, stretch your tongue, you know, wiggle your shoulders, warm it up.
Warm it up, Paula.
I'm going to warm up my instrument.
Yeah.
That's a Glockenspiel. That's not your instrument.
Here goes a little exercise you can do, Paula, that I love to do before I act.
What's that?
I like to say, baby daddy, 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 child support, 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 child support. So you say what you don't want really fast, so you get what you do want.
Oh, okay.
And when you do, when you say those things, you have to make sure you're moving your face. Okay. Baby daddy, baby daddy.
All right.
Baby daddy, baby daddy, baby daddy.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead. Do it, Paula.
All right. Coronavirus, 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 coronavirus. Additional weight, additional weight, additional weight, additional weight. Okay. I'm ready.
You sound ready.
All right. From the top.
Yeah.
Here we go. You want to feed her your line again to get her back into it, Tiffany?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for your time, Martin. The governor says that you were a vital member of the campaign staff and has asked me to meet with you about a job in my office. What makes you interested in this job?
Well, I've seen the excellent messaging, and at the risk of not sounding cynical enough for politics, the heart coming out of the First Lady's office. If you'll give me the chance, I'd love to be a part of it.
The governor also told me that he offered you the job of Deputy Chief of Staff to the First Lady of Michigan, the job that I now occupy months ago, and that you not only turned it down, but you called him a clown.
Yes, that's true, but I was wrong. I've been so impressed with...
How long have you been out of work?
Months.
The governor is willing to forgive and forget, but he has left the decision about hiring you up to me. So, I think it would be best if we just lay our cards on the table. I'm half your age. Are you going to be able to take orders from someone half your age?
Absolutely. And as a bonus, I can cut the crust off your jelly sandwiches.
Regina gives a flat stare.
I thought that now that our cards were on the table, we could kind of have fun with it.
I don't think we can. And frankly, I don't think you get it. You turned down the job serving the people because you experience a little sexism? Oh, please. Welcome to America, princess. It's a fuckingism, still. You're too busy feeling sorry for yourself to see where America is. Your head is so far up your ass, you don't need color guard. Your alternative wheatgrass party ain't never gonna be in power. We gotta work with what we got. We have a governor.
Wait a minute. Tiffany, you know what? I have to fix something. You know what happened? The computer auto-corrected. It's Coligard.
Coligard?
Yeah, you know that stupid ad for the colon cancer self-test at home thing?
Oh, wait, you got Coligard written here, so I thought it was like a military thing.
I know,
like,
I'm so sorry. So I thought it
was... You really stopped the scene so you could get your joke in, Paula?
Yes, I did.
This is a terrible episode.
No.
All right.
What's going on?
I don't know. Somebody's got a call or something in the background.
No, it's our recording playing again.
Somebody pushed it play.
It might be me. Fuck.
Is that you, Paula? Are you playing the recording?
Let me see. Fuck. Hold on.
Hey. Oh, boy.
Motherfucker.
This audition is not going very well.
No, this is... This is the kind of shit that happens to me, Tiffany. Yeah.
That's like, is it bad as like when I would take the recording, I would take a tape recorder into the audition with me in my purse and I would leave the purse. This is like if I accidentally pushed the purse and then the recording stopped and started playing the audition and I would have got busted. That would have been bad.
All right. Okay.
All right, Paul, are you recording again?
No, I started a new QuickTime recording.
Fantastic. All right. Here's what I want to do. Let's just go back to
in the middle of Tiffany's line where she says, "You're too busy feeling sorry for yourself so that we can get your colo guard joke in."
Yes, thank you.
And then we'll just take it from there and continue the scene.
How did I not see that? Okay. Sorry about that. Do you want to just start? Tiffany, why don't you just start it? I don't think we can.
I don't think we can. And frankly, I don't think you get it. You turned down the job serving the people because you experienced a little sexism? Oh, please. Welcome to America, princess. It's a fucking ism stew. You're too busy feeling sorry for yourself to see where America is. Your head is so far up your ass. You don't need Colo Guard. Your alternative wheatgrass party ain't never gonna be in power. We gotta work with what we got. We have a governor with progressive instinct, I'm sorry. Who is negatively influenced by his passion, longing for the cunt of his country club conservative wife? She leads him around by the dick. If she promises his little Stevie a visit with her party hamster, Michigan could lose green space. What the fuck?
Go on, Paula, it's your line.
I gotta infer that little Stevie is a penis, but party hamster, is it a vagina on a wheel? Do you use this language with the governor and the first lady?
I speak a lot of languages, but my message is the same. You got to ask yourself, do I want to be in front of the Trojan horse or do I want to be in the ass of that Trojan horse?
Okay, now I have no idea what you're saying.
Me neither. What the fuck?
Scene. All right. Thank you, Ms. Poundstone. please go wait for your Uber in the lobby. Okay, great scene. Paula, once again, and you've done this before, you seem to have written the more interesting part for someone not you.
Well, yeah, because they're my guest.
Okay.
Now, that should have been your part. You should be doing. I want to hear.
Okay,
Paula,
you
want to
reverse
part of Regina.
Oh, here we go. Okay, ready?
That's interesting. We're gonna flip it. Wait. Let's get some more coaching before we flip it. So you think Paula should try being Regina?
Yes, I think Paula should be Regina.
Okay.
Because, you know, this is about you, Paula. This is about you being your best self and living that slice of Regina's life.
Okay, I'm gonna do it.
Great. Okay so Paula, where do you want to start? Do you want to start from
let's start from the top.
Okay, let's start from the top. And any other advice for Paula? Tiffany?
No. I just have fun, Paula. Remember, we need you.
Love and approve of Tiffany. I love and approve of Tiffany.
No, I love and approve of Paula.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your time, Marta. The governor says that you are a vital member of his campaign staff and has asked me to meet with you about a job in my office. What makes you interested in this job?
Well, I've seen the excellent messaging and at the risk of not sounding cynical enough for politics, the heart coming out of the First Lady of Michigan's office.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll give me the chance, I'd love to be a part of it.
The governor also told me that he offered you the job of deputy chief of staff to the First Lady, the job that I now occupy, months ago, and that you not only turned it down, but you called him a clown.
Yes, that's true, but I was wrong. I've been so impressed with
how long have you been out of work?
Months.
The governor is willing to forgive and forget, but he has left the decision about hiring you up to me. So I think it would be best if we just lay our cards on the table. I'm half your age. Are you going to be able to take orders from someone half your age?
Absolutely. And as a bonus, I can cut the crust off your jelly sandwiches.
Regina gives a flat stare.
I thought now that our cards are on the table, we could have fun with it.
I don't think we can. And frankly, I don't think you get it. You turned down a job serving the people because you experience a little sexism? Oh, please. Welcome to America, princess. It's a fucking ism stew. You're too busy feeling sorry for yourself to see where America is. Your head is so far up your ass, you don't need Cologuard. Your alternative wheatgrass party ain't never gonna be in power. We gotta work with what we got. We have a governor with progressive instincts who's negatively influenced by his passionate longing for the cunt of his country club wife.
Oh.
She leads him around by the dick. If she promises little Stevie a visit with her party hamster, our state could lose green space.
I'm gonna infer that a little Stevie is a penis. But party hamster, is that a vagina on a wheel? Do you use this kind of language with the governor and the first lady of our state?
I speak a lot of languages, but my message is the same. You got to ask yourself, do I want to be in the front of the Trojan horse or do I want to be in the ass of the Trojan horse?
Okay, now I have no idea what you're saying.
And scene.
You get the job. You're hired as Regina.
Wow. Paul, I don't know, but you're definitely hired for either or both parts, Tiffany. Paula, how'd that feel? Did that feel more like something you could do?
You know, the joy I feel in saying party hamster. Okay, so Tiffany, so I was writing this scene, and I don't know slang for body parts. So I looked it up, like slang for penis. And some of the terms I did know, and some of them I didn't, but my...
Was Lil Stevie one of them?
Lil Stevie was one of them. I never heard of it before, but... So I thought, okay, I'll use that. And then for...
Oh my gosh, if you ever said that to a guy, would it would probably hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
Oh, Big Stevie.
Bring Lil Stevie. Bring Lil Stevie. Stevie over here to mama. I want to give him a kiss.
So then I looked up, you know, slang for vagina. And honestly, party hamster. Now, what it didn't say was how many people actually use that term. I've certainly never heard it. And I've been to Petco, I don't know how many times.
Yeah, and hamsters don't smell that good.
No, they don't.
I wouldn't want nobody referring to my vagina as a hamster, let alone a
party hamster.
Yeah, I think you really made some interesting choices there. I would imagine that maybe people named Steven use the term Lil Stevie.
It didn't say so.
Maybe.
And maybe hamsters use the term party hamster.
You know, interesting, just a little fun fact for you guys, because I'm the fun fact guy, is that I'm pretty sure that Lil Stevie or Lil Stevie Wonder was Stevie Wonder's name when he was a child music star.
Yeah, that you are definitely right about that.
Yes, it was.
And here's another one.
A reference to a penis.
Steve Van Zandt, Bruce Springsteen's guitarist, also had was also known as Little Steven for a while.
Okay, but neither of those things are, when someone says Johnson, they are not referring to Mr. Johnson. Neither of
yeah, you're
those
right.
things.
Just trying to help out.
That was not your main.
All right. Well, Tiffany, that was some fantastic acting advice for Paula. Thanks so much for that.
Thank you.
Can I ask you to hang around for a couple of minutes and join us on Quarantine Corner? I understand that you have some third grade science advice.
Sure.
Cool.
All right. Coming up, parents who are homeschooling, we've got your back. We'll tell you all you need to know about third grade science when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is I got the comfort stretch traveler 5-pocket pants.
And I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that too. Like so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14 karat gold jewelry and like all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. Thank you, houseband Jan Van Gold from the small village of Kaslow in the interior of British Columbia, Canada. Boy, I don't get tired of saying that. All right, everybody, it's time for Quarantine Corner. And I'm happy to announce that Tiffany Haddish is still with us to making it a very special Quarantine Corner. Now,
hey.
Hey, we know a lot of you are homeschooling your kids right now. And as a public service, we are offering tips on how to teach your kids. Today's topic, third grade science. The team here at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is going to share what we remember from third grade science. Tony Anita Hull in Sherman Oaks. Yes. You still there?
I am here.
All right. What do you remember from third grade science?
Photosynthesis is the process of a plant turning carbon dioxide into oxygen.
Wait a minute. That was third grade?
Yeah, I remember a lot of plant stuff. A lot of plant stuff in third grade.
It doesn't turn it into oxygen. Photosynthesis is when it takes the sunlight and turns that into nutrients for the plant to grow.
Because
the sun take a picture of the plant's seed spirit and tells the seed what to be, and then it grow up, and then it's absorbed. Then when there's water, the sun sucks up the water, and it gives it back to the plant for its seed spirit.
There you go.
Wow.
I think they ever mentioned seed spirit.
That's photosynthesis.
That's and you built in the photo part too there, Tiffany. I like it better than Tony's, I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
Tony, were you in like an advanced third grade?
No, not at all. Mrs. Lucero's class.
Mrs.
She drank
Lucero?
A lot of Diet Pepsi. Mrs. Lucero was my third grade teacher.
We couldn't even pronounce photosynthesis in the third grade. Captain Crinkle, what do you remember from third grade science?
Okay, well, I don't think my third grade is advanced as the third grade now. No, because I think third grade now is like, you know, A squared plus D minus or something. But mine, what I remember is...
Okay, that's nothing and that's math.
Okay, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's true. Okay. Forget it. Okay. Anyway, never mind about
God.
That. Okay.
Inviting you to talk is always an adventure, Bonnie.
I'm here. Okay.
Okay.
So here we go. Yeah. A square has four sides.
And that's math.
And a triangle has three sides.
That's also geometry.
Math. It's geometry. It's a math thing.
Okay. Okay, wait. Here we go.
Are you Googling this again?
No, you can mix... You can mix vinegar and baking soda and build a like paper mache volcano and it'll erupt.
Okay, that's the Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch. You know, you're not fooling anybody, Bonnie. The fuck?
Tiffany, turn the lights off in the schoolroom so you could see it.
We have we've done this before where we tell listeners what we remember from a particular subject in a particular grade, and all of us remember the name of the teacher and we vaguely remember something that happened. And Bonnie has over and over again Googled information.
Yeah.
Because she has no memory of personal
time. It was a long time ago for her. It was a long, long time ago.
Thank you, Tiffany.
You're thanking her for that. I love it. All right, Paula, what do you remember from third grade science?
I remember very well, Miss Coonley. Okay, one day, and this was a big deal in the third grade, she turned the lights out in the classroom. That was a big deal. Everybody was like, whoa, but that wasn't the science part. The science part was one kid held up a wiffle ball and another kid held a flashlight. And what she was showing us was that the wiffle ball was the moon and the flashlight was the sun. And she was showing us that the light from the moon is reflected light from the sun and that the moon doesn't have its own light. And to this day, when I look up at the moon, I think of Miss Coonley and I can still see that kid's hand holding the moon.
that's some hardcore science.
Yeah, that's something. All right,
And what I remember learning from third grade science is that just because Mrs. Burke sends you to the supply closet to get out some ping pong balls for the experiment, that doesn't make you invisible. And if Jill Hyman walks into that same supply closet and sees your hand and finger anywhere near your nose, she's going to go back out in the classroom and tell everybody.
And this was before the big don't touch your face push, too.
Oh, yeah. No. But, boy, it's hard to live that one down in third grade. Okay, now, Tiffany Haddish, what do you remember from third grade science?
I remember that if you cut a worm in half, it'll turn into two worms.
Is that true?
Wow.
Yeah, but
it'll regrow its tail. It'll grow a tail and everything.
This is a story that worms have tried to quash.
So did you actually do that in science? Like, did your teacher slice up a worm?
We cut a worm, and then the worm kept on wiggling and stuff, and then it was still alive the next day. And wow. Both pieces. And then it started to grow.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because last week on this very podcast, I cut myself in half.
It's true.
And now there's two of you?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, God forbid.
There's one.
No.
There's one of me that just does chores.
We also learned that if you cut the tail of a lizard, the tail will grow back.
That I knew. I thought the worm thing was a myth. I had heard that, but I did know that the tail thing really happens with the lizard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That if you grab a lizard by the tail, it the tail will break off. It's the lizard's way of getting away from you.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you know this, but worms can't swim.
What? What do they do? Sink?
Worms can't swim. They drown. That's why. That's messed up what we do when we go fishing.
Yeah. You would think that fish wouldn't fall for that. You'd think fish would be like, well, that's not, it's not swimming. It's got
now, that's why the worm is wiggling around, because it's trying to get back up to the surface for air.
Oh.
But you put a hook through it, and it can't wiggle off the thing, and then, bam, it drowns.
So you're tormenting two creatures, not just one.
Yeah.
Bam.
Oh, man.
I like the relaxed idea of being in a boat fishing, but I don't like fishing. I would like to go fishing without catching anything or trying to catch anything. I guess I just would like to be in a boat.
That's completely possible without fishing.
Yeah.
I also learned that, you know, crabs and shrimps are bottom feeders, and they eat all the other fish's poop.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, I try to put that out of my mind because I just love shrimp. But that is a fact.
Yeah. The shrimps are the roaches of the sea.
The delicious, delicious roaches of the sea.
Yeah, and so those lobsters. The lobsters look like a roach, too.
Oh, lobsters are, I guess so, right? Because they don't swim either, right? So
they're bottom feeders.
Bottom feeders.
And
oh, man.
Catfish, too.
Yeah.
I don't eat any of those things anymore, but when I did, they were delicious.
Yeah, they sure were.
And that's why catfish taste like mud, because they thinking they're eating some poop, but really they eating mud.
And with that, you're welcome, kids, for the third grade science edition of Quarantine
Wait a
Corner.
Minute. I learned something else.
Okay. Go ahead.
Did you know that you could take marijuana seeds and put them in a wet washcloth in a windowsill and then wait 3 days and keep the washcloth moist? And then by the fourth day, it will start to sprout.
What kind of fucking third grade teacher did you have?
A magician. They've taught us magic. That's why my garden is popping.
Fantastic.
Wow. Now, have any of these things been helpful? You know, I thought, well, we'll just tell kids what we remember from third grade science. And this is what you hold on to by the time you're our age. And so we could save them the trouble, really, of having to do much more than this. And did any of those facts, were they helpful to you at any point in your life?
Oh, yes. I mean, I grow vegetables all the time now, and I use seed. You know, I start from the seed.
Yeah.
And that's how I grow all my veggies. I start with putting them in a washcloth in the windowsill, keep it moist. They start to sprout, and then I put them in some dirt. Then I wait about 3 weeks, and then I put them in the ground. Sometimes I wait 2 months, depending on what kind of plant it is.
Oh.
I got to try that because I can't grow anything. The only thing I've managed to grow in my yard is rosemary, because you can't stop that stuff from growing.
Man, don't put no mint in your yard because it take over like weeds, man.
Oh,
I'm constantly
right.
pulling up mint. Ugh, but I make the best mint tea.
You do? I make a good mint julep.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you just got to make a simple maybe, syrup.
Maybe when all this is over, we have a get together and everyone brings something minty. And Paula, don't bring gum.
You know what? You know what I want to do when all this is over, Tiffany? I want to go to your house and wash my face and get high.
Come on, girl. Come on. Now, you know I live in South Central Los Angeles. I hope that doesn't scare you.
No, it doesn't. But I didn't.
I know, because it's not the same. It's definitely different here now. So
it's different in what do you mean? Different than it used to be or different?
Now we're going into eighth grade social studies. Okay?
South Central has changed. Oh my.
Well, I look forward to that lesson.
She's an author, she's an actress, she's a comedian, and she's completely awesome. Tiffany Haddish, I just want to thank you for coming to our show. That was just fantastic. We'll be back with more Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone after this. Fun fact, the Barbie doll's full name is Barbara Millicent Roberts from Willows, Wisconsin. And the Ken doll's full name is Ken. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're back. Now, Paula.
Adam, I forgot to say that the 100th caller contest is still on. So people, go ahead and call in for the opportunity to the 100th caller wins any appliance you want from Roger Federer's appliance store. And also a chance to hang out with Adam after the game.
Yeah, that great prize.
Adam, answer the phone.
What?
Answer the phone.
All right. Hello?
Hello, Adam. Am I the 100th caller?
Oh, no. It's Winnie Rose Fineman, everybody. I was dreading this moment. No, Winnie, you're not the 100th caller. I believe you're the 73rd caller.
Hello, it is myself, Winnie Rose Fineman, Adam Felber.
Yeah.
How are you doing during the stay-at-home order?
You know, I'm doing great, Winnie. I have a wonderful, loving family, and we have a very fulfilling life here. How are you doing?
Well, I've been trying to stay calm, so I've placed 100 short candles in paper bags all around our house, and they are very beautiful. And I can close...
Wait, you've done what?
I've placed 100 short candles in paper bags all around our house, and they are very beautiful. And I can close my eyes and breathe deeply and really feel my fear leaving my body.
And you have, it sounds like you have finger symbols there or something too.
Yes, I do. You should try this, Adam. Oh, and when I open my eyes and look out the window, I can see cars pulling over to see my calming lights.
Well, 100 candles, still, cars pulling over sounds a little weird.
They are. They're pulling over to see, there's a lot of cars pulling over to see my calming lights.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's really nice, Winnie. It's a little alarming. I mean...
Hey, there's a fire engine out there.
Oh, dear God.
It must be from a neighbor's house. There are some very... There are some very unsafe people kitty corner from here. Or do you say catty corner?
You can say catty cornered.
I'd like us to have that in common, Adam.
What? Winnie, what? Are you sure? Yeah.
Ma, I'm talking to Adam. I'll ask. Adam, do you still have her crock pot?
I never received her crock pot, Winnie. What I did receive is some kind of summons regarding our play.
Yes, we're working on a... Ma, I'm trying to talk to Adam. Those sirens are so loud.
Winnie, would you look out your window again and see exactly where those fire engines are?
Well, they're right in front of my house. Do you hear that?
For God's sakes, Winnie, get out of your house.
Do you hear that crack? Adam!
Winnie! Winnie! Winnie!
Adam, I'll have to call back.
Okay, get you and your mom out of that house. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Wow, I might have just really gotten out of that play I had to do with Winnie. I mean, wow, that sounded like she lit her house on fire, Paula.
Yeah, but I could hear the, I could hear the fire engines, so I'm sure she'll be fine, and she has a loud cough. There's no way they're going to miss her.
Hopefully her mom's going to be okay, yeah?
Her mom is pissed at you. You got to give her back her crock pot. My store
never had it.
Is still open. It's right here at paulapoundstone.com. You can get the Poundstone Pussy Pillows, which are a little linen pillow filled with catnip. And there's a cat joke on one side, and on the other side, I'm happy to autograph it to your cat. You just fill out a little online form when you go to order it. Or you can receive my remarkably soft tri-poly blend t-shirts with the self-portrait on the left breast and the memorable quote on the back. And you know, this might be a very good time to grab a copy of my book, The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness, not to mention the rest of my books and CDs. There they are!
And I want to mention that if you get that Poundstone Pussy Pillow and you resent the fact that Paula did not take the time to tie a string to the grommet included with the pussy pillow.
I don't provide the string. You know what? I can't do everything for everybody.
Well, that's why I said, that's why I leapt into that marketing niche. And as of today, I have just sent back to a lucky listener, Brooke Giddings, the first ever seen in the wild, Felber's Feline Fun Bag, for which I have autographed and tied a string to and sent it right on back.
Nice. just knowing that those things are available.
Yeah.
Has given me a very calm feeling.
Wow, you have finger symbols there, amazingly similar to Winnie Rose Fineman's.
Yeah, they come, there's two pair of them, and I sent her the other pair.
That's nice of you. All right, everybody, speaking of Hotel Soap, so we want to hear from all of you. Please email us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. If you want to submit something to our theme song contest or the vocabulary song, or just have a comment or a question, feel free to send those in.
You can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're all over the place. Check out our Facebook page at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
I'm pretty sure I'm still on Friendster as well. That's our show, everybody. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam the Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezevnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Special thanks to our guest, Tiffany Haddish. And thanks for sticking around, Tiffany. And thanks to tonight's house band, Nobody, Jan Van Gold. Mixing by Michael Hoagie. Starburns production by Land Romo. Technical direction by Jessica Gutierrez. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe, a premier internationally used transcription service. Use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at transcribeme.com to receive expedited service.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Party Hamster.
Party Hamster, yeah. I had never heard of it before.
That's, I can't imagine how widespread that is. And I, as it came out of my mouth, I was sad to say widespread.
Well, you know, it may be that, like, some woman has mentioned her party hamster to you before, but you just didn't know what she meant. And so you just thought it was like a little hamster with a hat and an elastic string under its chin.
Yes, that's exactly what I pictured, which is why, looking back, I probably shouldn't have said, ew, I don't want to see that.
Party hamster.
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.